Good morning, everyone, and a very warm welcome to our service at Emmanuel this morning. That welcome, of course, extended to those who can't be here this morning, but who will be listening to the service on the website in due course. We celebrate, as always, our union with our good friends in Highworth United Reformed Church, and we also celebrate our membership of the Old Town Partnership of Churches, particularly appropriate this morning, as it's thanks to that partnership that we are able to welcome Daphne Hardwick to our pupil pulpit this morning. Daphne, we welcome you and we look forward to your message for us this morning. We have two Bible readings which will be read by Edith Watson and myself, Don MacArthur. We'll actually read them in the reverse order, but I thought I ought to put the lady's name before mine. All the hymns are from Rejoice and Sing this morning. I'm sure no elder will need reminding that we have an elders' meeting on Thursday. Helen has advised me that she and Eddie are going to be taking the overflowing box to the Swindon Food Collective later today or tomorrow. The box will then be empty, ready for you to fill with fresh goodies over the following month. We are very grateful, and we know the Food Collective people are very grateful for your generosity in that respect. I shall now light both the Christ candle and the peace candle to give us a few moments of reflection before we commence worship.
Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ be with you. It's a real pleasure to be here this morning. I can't remember it's not that long ago since I was here, but it's always a pleasure to come down and greetings from friends at Christ Church. So shall we start our worship with our first hymn, which is number 600, Christ is the world's light.
Thank you.
You sit down. Well, I can see you now. I know now why my daughters refer to me as the family's hobbit. And I seem to get shorter. We do, don't we? We seem to lose height as we get older. And I'm sure I was a bit taller than I am now, but there we are. That's the passage of time. So let us pray. So gracious and loving God, you're always more ready to hear us than we are to pray. And you give us more than we either desire or deserve. May we remember that all our gifts and our abilities and life come from you, and grant that we may use them to your glory and to the benefit of others. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. And so we'll sing our next hymn, which is hymn number 620, for the healing of the nations.
If you wish to follow the first reading in the Pew Bibles, you will find it in the New Testament section on page 224. That is reading from Paul's letter to the Hebrews, starting at the beginning of chapter 13, so verses 1 to 8, and then moving on to verses 15 and 16 of chapter 13. Let mutual love continue. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for by doing that, some have entertained angels without knowing it. Remember those who are in prison, as though you were in prison with them. Those who are being tortured, as though you yourselves were being tortured. Let marriage be held in honor by all, and let the marriage bed be kept undefiled. For God will judge fornicators and adulterers. Keep your lives free from the love of money, and be content with what you have. For he has said, I will never leave you or forsake you. So we can say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can anyone do to me? Remember your leaders, those who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Through him, then, let us continually offer a sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of lips that confess his name. Do not neglect to do good and to share what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God. This is the word of the Lord.
The New Testament reading is from the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 14, verse 1, and then from verse 7 to 14. On one occasion, when Jesus was going to the house of a leader of the Pharisees to eat a meal on the Sabbath, they were watching him closely. When he noticed how the guests chose the places of honor, he told them a parable. When you are invited by someone to a wedding banquet, do not sit down at the place of honor in case someone more distinguished than you has been invited by your host. The host who invited both of you may come and say to you, give this person your place, and then in disgrace you would start to take the lowest place. But when you are invited, go and sit down at the lowest place, so that when your host comes, he may say to you, friend, move up higher, then you will be honored in the presence of all who sit at the table with you. For all who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. He said also to the one who had invited him, when you give a luncheon or a dinner, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or rich neighbors, in case they may invite you in return and you will be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind, and you will be blessed, because they cannot repay you, for you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
The choir are now going to sing our anthem, and it's going to be from number 745 as their anthem, A New Commandment I Give Unto You.
Thank you.
So gracious and loving God, may my spoken words be faithful to your written word and lead us all to the living word, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. I wonder how your summer has been. I've had a lovely summer. Quite a bit of it spent with my daughters and their husbands and my three grandchildren. So it's been a joy, although to be honest, they've only just sort of left and the house is still in chaos. We keep finding the odd Lego piece under the, under the carpet, or a book down the back of the settee, and the odd colouring pencil appears in the where the cutlery should be. But it's all part and parcel of the fun of family life. Although I'm conscious that there are other people, obviously, and some of us here, that perhaps have not always had the greatest of summers, and my heart goes out to them. Part of the time I was away was, we actually do try and go away as a family all together sometimes, and most of the time it's been somewhere in the Gower or down to Cornwall. But this year one of my daughters said, oh, it'd be lovely to go abroad, because this was earlier in the year, before we knew what summer was going to be like. She said, oh, it'd be so nice to go somewhere we already knew it's going to be sunny. So on a really hot, sunny day, we set off for Brittany. And it was lovely. It was beautiful. We stayed at a delightful little, well, not little, an old, very old farmhouse that was let, which had masses of rooms, and half of the house was obviously had once been the barn. And because there was some local goats that needed to be fed regularly with all the scraps from the table, the grandchildren had great fun rushing out and feeding the goats. But one of the things, I don't know about you, but I enjoy doing on a holiday is I take more books often than I can read. And so I had a number of books with me, mainly light-hearted things. I don't read anything sort of heavy. And the house we went into had an enormous variety of books as well. You know, there was a whole shelf of Proust and, you name it, all the readers. And they were great collectors, obviously. But I ended up, one of the books I read was something that I'd had for a number of years and never got round to reading. And a friend had said, oh, you'll enjoy this, Daphne. And then some of you may have read it. It's a very light, I would say, a fairly light novel. It's called Miss Garnett's Angel. It's by Sally Vickery. It was, must be a good 10 or 15 years since it was published. So how the story goes, Miss Garnett, the main character, is a rather prim and old-fashioned school teacher, and who, when her great friend and lifelong companion dies, suddenly decides to retire and go to live in Venice. Now, Miss Garnett has never had much time for religion. She's a very practical sort of woman. But she finds herself somehow drawn to the Venetian culture churches and the beautiful paintings and artworks. And she can't help but be inspired by some of the art. And she becomes involved in the story of Tobias and the angel. It's a story that you can read in the Apocrypha, that sort of book that sometimes you find between the Old and the New Testament. And it gradually unravels throughout the book. And she especially is intrigued by the archangel Raphael, or Raphael. I don't want to spoil the story for you if you wish to read it. So suffice to say that Miss Garnett's life is gently and subtly changed through her time in Italy and through her encounter, as she has, with angels. Now, in the story, angels can come in many shapes and forms, and Miss Garnett's angel was a painting of Raphael, or Raphael. But the reader is left wondering whether other characters in the book were angels in disguise, people that she came across. Now, in today's epistle reading from Hebrews, the writer to Hebrews was instructing his readers in the art of Christian living. And he said, "Let mutual love continue. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for by doing so, some have entertained angels without knowing it." I think that's quite a sobering thought. It's one thing to imagine angels with wings and halos, as shown in most religious art, but quite another to imagine that they may look just like you and me and be quite indistinguishable from other human beings. They may perhaps look quite unkept, unpleasant, and the sort of people you wouldn't really want to invite into your living room. And this was certainly the experience of people from the Old Testament to whom the writer of Hebrews was referring. Interestingly, when Abraham met with three angels at the oaks at Mamre, they first described as God himself, the Lord, then Abraham addressed them in the singular, "My Lord." And this is thought by some scholars to be the first indication of the Trinity in the Bible. Whether or not that's the case, Abraham clearly wasn't sure who these strangers were, but showed them great hospitality. And this is a story, if you want to look it up again, it's in Genesis 18. Now, similarly, in the next chapter of Genesis, Abraham's nephew, Lot, entertained angels unaware. And in this story, Lot not only hosted the angels, but actually protected them against, again, assuming them to be human beings. And in return, Lot and his family were protected by the angels. In the book of Judges, the Israelites have been having a hard time due to the ravages of the Midianites when an angel appears to Gideon. But like Abraham, Gideon isn't sure who the angel is, and although the text starts with an angel, it then becomes interchangeable between the angel and God himself, the Lord, and finally finishes by Gideon suddenly realizing he's entertained an angel and saying, "Help me, Lord God, for I have seen the angel of the Lord face to face." In the book of Tobit in the Apocrypha, which the story Miss Garnett's Angel is based, Tobias is accompanied on a long journey by the archangel Raphael, but he doesn't realize his escort is an angel. But his father Tobit does. He says to his wife, Tobias's mother, "Don't worry, your child will leave in good health and return to us in good health. Your eyes will see him on the day when he returns to you in good health. Say no more. Do not fear for them, for a good angel will accompany him, and his journey will be successful, and he will come back in good health." The writer to the Hebrews uses the idea of unwittingly being in the company of angels to reinforce his instructions regarding Christian behavior. It's an idea used in a similar way by Jesus when he turned on the Pharisees and denounced them for failing to respond to basic human needs. They reply in a rather injured fashion, "Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not take care of you?" The point is that Christians should respond with love and warmth and friendship to every human being, no matter what their station in life and no matter whether or not they're personally known. In today's gospel story of the marriage feast, Jesus teaches in a very graphic and pointed fashion about the importance of humility. He notices that the guests at the dinner are quietly angling for the best seats, So he aims a parable at them. I think most of us, if we're honest, have a tendency to angle for the best seats, whether it's the best education for our children, or the best hospital treatment, or the best job, or the best house, or the best car. Being human, we want the best we can have for ourselves and our loved ones. But Jesus taught that we should seek the best for all human beings, not just a select few in our own particular family or friendship group. And even if that means that we ourselves and our families sometimes have to make do with second best, have to take the lowest place at the dinner table. After all, it may be that those that we're angling out of that place are angels in disguise. Amen. So let's stand as we sing our next hymn, Just As I Am, 364. The offertory, I think. So gracious and loving God, we thank you for the bounteous gifts that you provide us with. And we offer these monetary tokens and also our talents, that they may be used to build your kingdom here in Swindon, but also in your wider world. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be always with you, evermore. Amen. And so let's offer one another a sign of peace. And so we pray. Lord, it is you and your call that gives us dignity and position. Without you, we would be nothing. We would not even exist. Forgive our false pride and those times we seek to be protectionists, when we jockey for position or belittle others. Give your church true humility and a sense of hospitality to all. We pray for those who preach and evangelize in areas of poverty, apathy, or animosity. For all who face humiliation for their faith. For all who are persecuted. We remember all who have lost their way and are no longer fulfilling their vocation. And so, Lord, as you call us, make us worthy of our calling. We give thanks for all who care for the homeless and destitute. We pray for social workers and all who seek to help others in their needs. We remember the many relief agencies and the work, such as the World Health Organization, Christian Aid, Amnesty, the work of the Red Cross, and all who care for refugees. Lord, as you call us, make us worthy of our calling. And Lord, we give thanks for all who have welcomed us into their homes, all who have been hospitable, all who have shown us love. We pray for family life and for the sanctity of marriage. But we remember all who are suffering from a breakdown in the relationships. We ask that we may learn contentment and avoid greed. Lord, as you call us, make us worthy of our calling. We remember all who have been belittled by others, all who have no confidence in themselves, those who are nervous or timid, who find it difficult to mix with others, who feel insignificant. And we particularly ask your blessing upon all who live in the hostile areas of our world, in places of war, in places of oppression, of abuse. We pray particularly at this time for those in Gaza and other areas in the Middle East which are still in conflict. We pray for the people of Ukraine, and we pray for the people of Russia and for all areas of our world. Places that no longer appear in our news sheets, but where oppression and abuse continue. We remember all who are ill, those within our own community that we know personally, and those that perhaps we don't know so well. And in a moment of silence, we will hold them, those names, to you in So, Lord, as you call us, make us worthy of our calling. And loving God, we give thanks that you invite us and accept us into your kingdom, that you have triumphed over death and offered us life eternal. And we pray for loved ones of those who have recently died. And in a moment of silence, we hold them before you. So gracious and loving God, accept these our prayers in the name of Jesus, our Saviour. Amen. So let us stand as we sing our final hymn, number 740, Tell Out My Soul. So do not neglect to do good and share what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God. And the blessing of God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you all, and all those whom you love and pray for, now and always. Amen.